are we, poor? Yeah. I thought the point of insider trading was to be rich.
Yeah, they have entirely missed the point.
Welcome to Lawyers Behaving Badly. I'm Karen Delaney.
And I am Jennifer Judge, with dogs barking in the background this morning. But happy Valentine's Day to you, friend. How are you?
Oh, yeah. Happy Valentine's Day.
How's your day going? It's we're recording at 8:30, so it is bright and early this morning on Valentine's Day.
I am deeply existentially annoyed with everything and everybody at the moment, but this too shall pass. Having nothing to do with it being Valentine's Day or anything like that. It's just a confluence of not having enough, had enough sleep and a whole bunch of things going on and the dogs being absolute menaces. My dogs, not yours.
Oh, I was like, they annoy me too. I understand. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's me. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah. I noticed when you were texting me at 1:30 this morning. So
I was like, fuck it, whatever. She's probably got a ringer off. I'm not going to worry about it.
No, it didn't wake me up or anything. I woke up this morning and I saw it and I was like, well, that sucks for her. So yeah.
Yeah. It was a great night. So fantastic. How are you?
I'm good. Same. I'm tired. I'm not existentially annoyed at things. I'm just tired. We're in that phase where the kids are overscheduled, which means we're overscheduled. And literally every night of the week, we have some kid event that we're driving to. And it's just, you know, never ending. So it's exhausting right now. And again, this too shall pass. They're in the kind of shoulder season where they have a lot of things going on at once, but it's tiring in addition to like work blowing up and just a lot of things. And so it feels like, you know, the minute you stop and sit down basically at night, I fall asleep and then I'm up at 5 a.m. and going again the next day. So it's one of those times where you just feel like you have no time to yourself, even a little bit. So
yeah,
hopefully that ends soon.
Yay.
We're in a great place today.
Yeah, I know. Oh, we're just struggling along. On a positive note, though, because we didn't have an episode last week where we talked about the Grammys and Taylor Swift's atrocious look that was giving Jessica McClintock styled by Brittany Mahomes. But we are getting a new Taylor Swift album, which I know you and I are unreasonably excited about.
Yes. I have trained my family so much that my oldest son came down when he found out online or from one of his friends and was like, Mom, did you know Taylor Swift announced a new album? And I said, yeah, I did. And he goes, man, it's going to suck riding in the car with you in April because that's all we're going to hear, isn't it?
You're like, April, try the rest of your life, friend.
Yeah, exactly. That's being added to the Taylor Swift playlist so fast. I can't wait.
I enjoyed all the tweets about it. Like, there's one, can't wait for a new Taylor Swift album, parentheses, 17 songs vaguely describing suicidal ideation and gay yearning, close parentheses. And then, do you follow, there's this guy on TikTok, Brian Licious. Do you follow him?
I may. I don't know if I do or not.
So we all know the album title is called The Tortured Poets Department, which is a real mouthful and, of course, a departure from her normal naming practices. But every time he does a TikTok now talking about her, he references her album, but he's got a whole bunch of different names for him. Like the, and I wrote them out, the Joe Alwyn Murder Department, the Joe Alwyn Torture Department, the Joe Alwyn Waterboarding Department, the Maddie Healy Dick Riding Department, which is a new one, the Get a Job Joe Alwyn Department, and the Carbon Emission Defenders Department.
Yeah, I am excited to see how much shit Joe Alwyn eats on this album because it the prognosis is not looking good.
No, I think he needs to be in the witness protection program. Yes. Yeah.
So yeah, but it's been a fine week. It's fine. We're here. We're good. We're having a good time. All things are good. We're gonna positive self-talk our way into this.
No, fuck that. And I don't know about that last part as it relates to me having good. I am not having a good time at the moment, but I hope to be having an improved time by later today or certainly the end of the week. So
good. Well, here's hoping for you for that.
Yeah, fingers crossed for me.
Well, I didn't tell you, but I have a hot topic for today. Okay. And how familiar are you with the Gina Carano lawsuit that she filed against Disney and Lucasfilms for her role in Star Wars?
I don't even know who that is.
Okay, that's what I thought would be the case. So I'm excited for this. Are your sons interested in Star Wars at all? Like, is that a thing for them yet?
Not particularly. We have a mild interest in Grogu, but
okay,
that's sort of, I guess, like Star Wars adjacent. I don't know. I mean, it's in the same universe or whatever. They may have seen the movies.
My oldest is also a Star Wars lover and has watched everything. Mm-hmm. And so we watch a lot of it just to stay conversant with him. And, you know, you want to be interested in the things your kids are interested in. And, you know, it can be entertaining. It's perfectly fine. And having grown up with it, sometimes it's nice to like call back to things that you experienced as a child, because I did grow up watching it. But there is a series on Disney Plus called The Mandalorian, which is a Star Wars derivative. And it's Pedro Pascal who plays the Mandalorian and a side character who appears in season one and season two to some extent is a woman, an actress named Gina Carano. And she plays this character called Cara Dune, who is like a warrior type person for all intents and purposes, which I already know certain people are going to text me and be like, a warrior type person. So I'm going to hear about this. But anyway, Gina Carano is the actress, and she found herself fired a few years ago from her role on The Mandalorian, and has since filed a wrongful termination lawsuit against Disney and Lucasfilms. And I wanted to discuss it because it has some interesting stuff in it.
Can you just reassure me at the outset, Pedro Pascal is not a creep, right? That we know.
No, oh, Pedro good. Pascal okay. is still just as good and as wonderful as we assume him to be.
Okay.
In fact, they insult him for being very nice in this lawsuit. So this is the introduction to the lawsuit, and I just sent that for you to read. And you tell me your thoughts.
Is she like an anti-vax, like flat earther or something?
Oh, yes.
Or she's just like virulently racist or something, because that's what this is giving. So,
just wait.
Oh, God. Ugh. Introduction. A short time ago, in a galaxy not so far away, defendants made it clear that only one orthodoxy in thought, speech, or action was acceptable in their empire, and that those who dared to question or failed to fully comply would not be tolerated. That is so cheese dick. I hate it when lawyers try to get cute with stuff like that. I will never forget some litigation that I was involved in when I was a junior associate, where the lawyer on the other side kept quoting Dr. Seuss in his pleadings.
Oh, God.
And we were in federal court in the Northern District of Texas. And it was like, please be so fucking for real right now. Like, please be serious and stop dropping footnotes to the fucking Lorax, you absolute clown. Anyway, this continues. And so it was with Carano. After two highly acclaimed seasons on The Mandalorian as Rebel Ranger Cara Dune, Carano was terminated from her role as swiftly as her character's peaceful home planet of Alderaan had been destroyed by the Death Star in an earlier Star Wars film. Jesus fucking Christ. This is making me uncomfortable.
Isn't it? It's like, gives you cringe.
It's so cringe. And all this because she dared voice her own opinions on social media platforms and elsewhere and stood up to the online bully mob who demanded her compliance with their extreme progressive ideology. They were probably like, please stop being homophobic on set. Can you like not harass people for being a different race or like sexuality than you? Thank you.
This complaint goes on for pages and pages and pages. And the first part of it is like, Gina Carano is this amazing actress. And then the second part is Gina Carano got into it with Twitter trolls all the time. Mm-hmm. And it's just screenshot after screenshot after screenshot of people trolling her and getting into it with Twitter trolls. And truly the only thing I thought while I was reading that was, log off, Gina Carano. Like, Jesus Christ, just log off and go touch grass. Like, this all could have been avoided if you could put your little phone down and walk away. Like, it just is not that big a deal. Just go outside
sometimes. Yeah.
So she, like I said, we'll go somewhat into what ultimately got her terminated. But I thought you would enjoy this. Tell me if this is a common thing that companies say when they do terminate an employee.
Okay. So this tracks. It's exactly what I thought. In announcing Carano's termination, Lucasfilm made the following public statement. Quote, Gina Carano is not currently employed by Lucasfilm and there are no plans for her to be in the future. Nevertheless, her social media posts denigrating people based on their cultural and religious identities are abhorrent and unacceptable. End quote. Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise.
You knew exactly. It's so funny because these people are so predictable and they like to call liberals the snowflakes.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so predictable where they're like, they refuse to tolerate me being extremely racist to other people, you know? And it's like, yeah, we do expect some sort of common decency and for you to not just be spewing hatred everywhere you go.
So her big thing, she had several things. She did not, she believed that in the wake of George Floyd's death, you know, that BLM, Black Lives Matter, was Antifa and the riots, you know, people were rioting and burning the country down. So there was that. Her big bugaboo was trans people and pronouns and how trans people are militant and trans people are abusing us and trans people are requiring orthodoxy and putting pronouns in your bios and things like that.
It's just so crazy to me because, I mean, number one, I understand that that's the current moral panic and it is legitimately dangerous because the people who are anti-trans are not going to stop with trans people. I mean, they're coming for a lot of people and a lot of rights. It is legitimately dangerous. But most of these people have never probably even been within 100 yards of somebody who's trans. It's like, this has absolutely no impact on your life whatsoever. It's just this ethereal moral panic about something you're never even going to be confronted with.
Yes, that's exactly right. And she decides finally to put quote unquote pronouns in her bio to appease the online mob. So she puts her pronouns as beep, bop, boop in her bio and says like, oh, haha, it's a lighthearted way to point out how silly pronouns are. And unshockingly is just insulting and made everybody pissed off.
It's not even funny.
No, that's it's not even funny.
That's another issue that I have with all of this. Who is the guy who recently got in trouble online because he made like a wife beater joke and it was so terribly unfunny?
Oh, Matt Rife. Yes.
Matt Rife. Yeah. Matt Rife sucks, but it's like him too, where of course a bunch of guys came out of the woodwork and they're like, nobody thinks anything is funny anymore. You can't be funny. And it's like, no, like jokes about beating your wife stopped being funny. I mean, if they ever were like 30 or 40 years ago, I mean, be original. If you're going to be offensive, at least be original about it instead of trotting out some tired old joke about how she should be in the kitchen if she doesn't want black eyes. Like, give me a fucking break.
there was, not to go down too far a rabbit hole, but there's a comedian, Anthony Jeselnik, who was giving an interview after all that Matt Rife stuff blew up. And he's famous for being, you know, offensive and telling edgy jokes. And basically he was like, Matt Rife didn't get away with it because he wasn't funny. Like, if you're going to do edgy, if you want to get away with it, it has to be funnier than it is offensive so that the audience actually laughs at it. And he's like, and it wasn't. And that's his problem. So I also just sent you the tweet that she posted after she put her pronouns up. And you can see her explanation for her pronouns.
So Gina Carano's tweet is, beep/bop/boop has zero to do with mocking trans people, white heart emoji, and 100 emoji to do with exposing the bullying mentality of the mob that has taken over the voices of many genuine causes. I want people to know you can take hate with a smile, so boop you for misunderstanding. Smiley face, hashtag all love, no hate. And it's got a gif of, who is that, R2-D2?
Which R2-D2. One is that?
Mm-hmm. Okay. And the caption is, beeps provocatively. This is so fucking stupid. And I love that she somehow suggests that she's taking up the mantle of, somehow we can't talk about real genuine causes because people are yelling at me on the internet. As if she's engaged in a good faith discussion in the first place or ever was.
Yeah, that's exactly right. So one thing to note here is, when we talk about Pedro Pascal, you may know this, but Pedro Pascal has a trans sibling and is very passionate about those causes.
I did and not know so, that.
Yes, he does. And so in the lawsuit, they're basically like, Pedro Pascal sat her down and even worked with her to try and understand why pronouns are important. And I was like, see, Pedro Pascal is a good person. Like, he's even trying to educate her on why she's being a moron.
So zaddy of him.
Exactly. Like, just confirming all my priors that he's wonderful.
Continue with the thirst traps, TikTok.
Yeah, exactly. Would you be shocked to know that Carano is a 2020 election denier?
That tracks.
Yes. But here is the final thing that got her fired. As she's going in all of these back and forths with, like, humor that only Babylon Bee writers would think is funny, with all of this, like, beep, bop, boop bullshit. You know, and like, I identify as someone, blah, blah, blah. You know, they have one joke. And so she kept going back to that. She posted an image and it says, Jews were beaten in the streets, but not by Nazi soldiers, but by their neighbors, even by children. And then she goes on and basically compares herself to the Jews in the Holocaust because her point of view is being villainized.
Oh my God, that's so deeply offensive.
It is wildly offensive. And so at that point, that's when Disney was like, nope, nope, nope. We're done with this, and terminated her.
Also sounds like it skirts very close to Holocaust denial.
Oh, yeah, because she's like, history is edited and most people don't realize it wasn't the Nazis doing all this. So, yes.
Like, well, who do you think the Nazis were?
Yes, exactly.
Like, you're right. They were they were your neighbors and the neighbor's kids. Yeah. Right. That's the whole point. Like, yeah.
So Disney terminates her and she has now filed this lawsuit under California law. And I think I know you know this, or many of our listeners may not. California has a law that protects your voicing of political opinions, you know, basically creates a protective category for that in employment law.
Mm-hmm. A number of states have laws like this.
Yes. And so she actually has comparators of people who voiced, you know, political opinions on the left who were not terminated or anything like that. So as wild as it is, she actually alleges, you know, a case that would probably survive summary judgment. I think California's law and other laws like that are really problematic on a First Amendment standpoint, which is another argument, because you're basically telling companies they're required to associate with something that they may not want to associate with. So I think it'd be an interesting First Amendment challenge. But she, like, as wild as her lawsuit is under California law, I think she has something that, you know, is going to survive a motion to dismiss. So we will have to pay attention to this one and see where it goes.
We'll see.
So we will see. But again, as we always say, I hope your day is terrible, Gina Carano.
Yeah, please step on some Legos constantly. Exactly. Good job, internet trolls. Keep up the good work.
Keep up the good work.
Well, our main story today comes out of New York.
Ooh.
Have you ever heard of a little firm named Covington & Burling?
Yes, I have heard of a little firm with that name before.
They are known as a white shoe. Yeah, a little shop. Just a little white shoe law firm headquartered in D.C. with more than 1,200 lawyers in 14 offices worldwide. Do you know what Covington & Burling lawyers were doing in early 2021?
I do not. Or if I did, I have blocked it out. That was a rough time period.
They were, like many of us, working from home because of the pandemic. And in fact, one associate at Covington named Linda Lawyer was working from her one-bedroom apartment in Manhattan. Linda at this time has a boyfriend who she has been seeing. This is January 2021. She's been seeing him since about October 2020, so a few months.
Mm-hmm.
But he's talking a big game. He allegedly has told her that he wants to marry her. They are shacked up, probably as many people were during mm-hmm. the early days of the pandemic. He was staying over at her apartment for days, sometimes hanging out there when she wasn't home. And when Linda was home, she was allegedly on conference calls on speakerphone. And kept work documents out in the open, like binders with documents and printed emails and legal pads with her notes.
Okay.
How do we feel about this?
Not ideal. If you have someone who can view your attorney-client privileged and work product thoughts and client information, if you're living with third parties, but also, I mean, what else are you supposed to do in a one-bedroom apartment working from home? So,
well, one, don't take calls on speakerphone while your yes. boyfriend's playing Xbox in the background or whatever.
Fair.
And number two, get a file cabinet and put your shit in there yeah. if you're dealing with, mm-hmm. I mean, there are solutions to this.
I can't imagine working with paper though. I mean, I haven't worked with paper and like, yeah.
That was another thing that perplexed me about this. It's like, yeah. what do you mean there was a whole bunch of paper out everywhere?
Paper.
But
what's paper?
Yeah. Yeah, I generally don't have to worry about this because I am extremely strident about maintaining a fully virtual practice. Like, I will not mm-hmm. have paper sitting in my office. And in part, it was to deal with shit like this. Like, I don't want to have to mess with paper. I don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it turns out that Linda is a deal lawyer. And in late 2021, she's on a very long phone call about a potential acquisition. And one of those binders she has out, she prints a January 31, 2021 email from Covington to her deal team for a highly confidential acquisition, including the code name for that deal and the caution that those working on the deal must be, quote unquote, extremely careful not mm-hmm. to disclose information associated with the deal. So Linda puts that email in her binder in her one-bedroom apartment that she's sharing with her boyfriend, mid-panini.
I love that they're like, be so careful with this. And she's like, print into the bind.
Would you like to know who the acquisition involved?
Oh my gosh. It's going to be like major companies and they're probably going to be like publicly traded.
The acquisition target is probably a company you've never heard of, unless you somehow have a secret hobby interest in biopharmaceuticals that I don't know about. But the company's name was Pandion, mm-hmm. and it was a clinical stage biopharmaceutical company that developed therapeutics for patients with autoimmune diseases and traded its stock on NASDAQ.
Oh, no.
Pandion was getting itself acquired. Do you want to know what company intended to acquire Pandion?
Oh, it's going to be like Pfizer or Novo Nordisk or something like that.
You're so close. Keep going.
I'm like, what are the other ones? There's Abbott, Johnson & Johnson. What's another one? Galderma.
What about a little old publicly traded company with $60+ billion in annual revenue called Merck?
Oh, Merck. I've heard of them before.
Yeah. Merck engaged Covington and Burling to represent it in its acquisition of Pandion, and Covington assigned Linda Lawyer, among others, to this deal. By early February 2021, Merck, with the assistance of Linda and her colleagues at Covington, had submitted a proposal to acquire Pandion for $60 a share, which was about a 3x premium at that point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And during this time, the boyfriend is hanging out at Linda Lawyer's apartment while she's on Merck deal calls. Do you have any idea what else the boyfriend was doing in February?
Oh, he's got to be day trading.
Mm-hmm. He's doing a lot of day trading.
Oh my
buying
God.
Buying up those stonks. And on February 1st, using multiple brokerage accounts, he buys a bunch of Pandion stock. He then texts his buddy saying he, quote, went in all caps, on Pandion in every portfolio. The buddy turns around and buys $100,000 of Pandion stock himself. And I'm going to send you a little paragraph from the boyfriend's subsequent indictment.
In text messages, the buddy told the boyfriend that if he made a lot of money, he would buy the boyfriend a, quote, nice Android, and that he would take them to a, quote, fancy restaurant. The boyfriend countered that he wanted a Rolex watch. Can't even spring for an iPhone with all your insider training.
I know, I was going to say a fucking Android. What are we, poor? Yeah, I thought the point of insider trading was to be rich.
Yeah, they have entirely missed the point.
The boyfriend then encouraged his buddy to buy even more stock. And I've just sent you another paragraph from the subsequent indictment.
The boyfriend encouraged the buddy to buy more shares, telling him that the stock was going to, quote, explode tomorrow or by week's end when, quote, the news drops, end quote, and that they were going to get, quote, triple gains in all caps. In order to maintain the secrecy of what they were doing, the boyfriend and the buddy agreed that they would refer to Pandion as Panda and use the panda emoji in text messages. Who could crack this code?
And what I love is the indictment includes the actual panda emoji in case you had any doubts about what they were using.
It's important when you create a code to put the code breaking in the writing where you set out the code so anyone could just easily break that code.
Right. There is a hiccup, though. The announcement of the acquisition gets delayed because Merck tells Pandion that it needs to finish some site visits to Pandion's vendors before it inks the deal. And coincidentally, the boyfriend texts his buddy that, quote, the news that was supposed to come out this week may come out next week. But here's what the boyfriend tells the buddy to reassure him about all of this Pandion stock that they are now tied up in.
Okay. Quote, seeing how nobody except the insiders knows the news is coming, it shouldn't affect the price. Be so explicit with what you're doing.
These guys basically put all of their free cash into Pandion. According to the government, the boyfriend drains his checking account and took $35,000 out of his savings account to buy more Pandion stock. The buddy told the boyfriend that he was going to sell all of his other stock, invest his money, get a six-figure loan. He's going to borrow against his life insurance. He's going to get money from his mom. He's going to use the cash he got for Chinese New Year's to buy more Pandion, They are all in. And the buddy also shares the good news with his friends and family. And here's what he told one family member.
Pandian was going to make a, quote, announcement that was not, quote, public info, but was, quote, big news, and that the share price was going to rocket emoji upwards. Diamond hands, hold on to it, to the moon.
Hashtag stonks.
Yes.
By my count in the indictment, there were at least 5 family members and 7 friends between these two guys who buy a shitload of Pandian stock over the course of 3 or 4 weeks in February 2021.
That's wild. Although I think we kind of talked about it. The one thing I would add is this is right now what we're talking about at the height of the meme stocks point. So like people are to the moon and meme stalking themselves around right now. So it's interesting that it is actually happening in that exact time period.
Right. Just some of the other stonks.
Yes.
Presumably didn't have to do with, you know, material insider trading, public information.
No, they were wild conspiracy theory fueled delusions, but hey, whatever.
So together, these two guys buy more than 35,000 Pandian shares in a matter of days. Ultimately, after the acquisition news becomes public, Pandian stock closes 133% higher than the previous day. They sell their shares. The boyfriend makes, drumroll, $80,000.
Like, if you're going to insider trade, like, that's not enough to retire on.
Yeah. Like, okay. The buddy, however, makes off with more than $1.3 million.
Hey, look at that.
So you've made a nice little chunk of change from insider trading. What do you do next?
I mean, you have to flee the country because the SEC, believe it or not, knows to look for shit like that when announcements like that are made. But I'm guessing if you're smart enough to go with this plan, you don't know that. So I'm guessing you ball out.
Yeah, that's so funny. Yeah, I mean, I think if you're texting people, hey, do you want to buy stock based on non-public inside information? And you're right. They basically go party balls. Here's what's next from the indictment.
After the buddy sold his Pandion stock, he told his boyfriend that he was going to, quote, call up my Rolex man. Pause. Rolex man. Okay, sorry. Quote, call up my Rolex man and tell him, quote, I want matching panda watches. We should. Here's an ode to our crimes.
Which is, by the way, a nickname for a specific, very boring looking Rolex watch that has a black and white face like a panda that is supposedly somewhat rare. And you can get some of them for about $35,000. But depending on, I don't know, the specifics, it can go up quite a bit from there.
The buddy subsequently purchased 2 Rolex watches for himself for approximately $55,000 and a Rolex watch called the Panda for its design and coloring, which he presented to the boyfriend as a thank you gift for the Pandion stock tip that was valued at approximately $40,000. The buddy also told the boyfriend that, quote, all the vacations are on me.
Literally with 3 E's.
Yes.
Which and I laughed so hard at because I was like, this is basically you and me texting each other if we did yes, crimes.
You know the DOJ lawyer was like, me, e.
Yeah.
And paid for expenses during a trip to Hawaii for both of them where they stayed at luxury hotels. The buddy also treated the boyfriend to a tasting menu at a 3 Michelin starred restaurant in Brooklyn, New York that costs more than $1,000 for the meal. Using his illicit insider trading profits, the buddy also purchased a home in Florida. I'm going to go something what you don't expect here. I think this is a heartwarming story of a healthy male friendship that is wrapped in insider trading. Because look at how much these bros love each other.
I know. They're going to Hawaii together.
Yes.
I love that they're hitting up Michelin-starred restaurants.
Exactly.
They're like out in Williamsburg just having the time of their lives. Which also, I need our New York listeners to tell me what three-starred Michelin restaurant was in Brooklyn in 2021, because mm-hmm. I could not find any three-starred restaurants from the 2023 list. And I need to see a menu. And I spent an unreasonably long time trying to figure this out and was really pissed that I couldn't figure it out. Not surprisingly, FINRA launches an investigation into trading in Pandion stock. And one of the first things they do is they send a list of names to Covington and the law firm representing Pandion. Like, hey, do you recognize any of these names?
Oh my God.
And lo and behold, the boyfriend is on that list, as is the buddy, and a whole bunch of their friends and family. By this time, Linda Lawyer and the boyfriend have broken up.
Mm-hmm.
You are Linda Lawyer. What do you do when you see this list and your ex-boyfriend's name is on it, along with other people who share his last name and some of his friends' names that you recognize?
I mean, the first thing I do is throw up. Like, that is the absolute...
My first action item is to just absolutely shit myself.
Yeah, like it's either throw up or shit myself, and like not in like a euphemistic way. Like
maybe
no,
both.
Like,
I don't know.
I mean, you have to tell the firm, and God, that's the most awkward conversation in the world to possibly have. But you have to tell the firm about that.
I can only imagine seeing this list of names and having basically an out-of-body experience before you're able to come back to Earth, you know?
Yeah, I literally, like, I can't even imagine, like, blackout if I saw that and, like, full-on panic attack.
Yeah.
And then once you calm down from that, tell the firm.
She must have told the firm. In June 2021, about 4 months after her ex-boyfriend's little insider trading spree, Linda calls the boyfriend up.
Mm-hmm.
It is unclear from the documents whether this call was recorded, because the states involved here, one-party consent states, but it seems sort of like it must have been.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you have to imagine she's not making this call without having involved the firm, and mm-hmm. the firm having involved, number one, a whole bunch of lawyers, and number two, yes. law enforcement. So she calls up the boyfriend and she asks him, hey, do you have any idea why you would be on this list? What do you think he tells her?
Oh, he denies. He has to deny it. I say that and now I'm like, no, he's the kind of guy that would be like, fuck yeah, that's me on the list. I made out like a bandit.
I just sent you.
In response to her questions about the FINRA list, the boyfriend falsely told Linda Lawyer that he did not trade in Pandion stock and that FINRA must have been referring to a different person named the boyfriend who also lived in Falls Church, Virginia, where the boyfriend maintained an apartment. Oh, sure. Okay.
Yeah. And he has a very distinct name, by the way. I mean,
it's
the
not
idea.
Like Joe Smith. Yeah.
No, I mean, the idea that there would be another guy with his same name living in his same town makes no sense. The boyfriend has another problem in addition to all of the insider trading. Do you want to guess why they broke up?
Was he cheating on her?
He got a new job. That is mm-hmm. why he is now living okay. in
Oh, yeah, because he was in New York. Mm-hmm.
Any guess as to what new job might be in Virginia?
Oh, my God, it's a government job, isn't it?
Can you think of one employer in particular that trains all of its new potential employees in Quantico, Virginia?
I was about to say it's the FBI, isn't it?
They broke up because he moved to Virginia to do FBI training and become an FBI agent.
Oh my God.
In fact, one reason Linda Lawyer apparently was so loosey-goosey with information in her apartment is because this guy was like, no, but like, I have a security clearance and I'm going to be an FBI agent. You can totally trust me. It's fine. Which is, by the way, not how your confidentiality obligations work or attorney.
No, even if they have top secret security clearance, it doesn't mean you could just share your privileged information with them.
Right. That's not how that works.
No.
There's not an exception for somebody with clearance in the rules. This story is like FBI Inception, because now the boyfriend, although he maintains an apartment in Falls Church, Virginia, is living in an FBI dormitory at FBI's Quantico campus, sharing a room with another FBI agent trainee.
The call's coming from inside the house.
So apparently agents in the FBI field office in New York call up their colleagues at Quantico and are like, hey, girl. And they get a search warrant for the boyfriend's Quantico dorm room. And basically the plan is they know that trainees are not supposed to bring their phones with them to certain trainings. So they decide to surreptitiously search his dorm room while he's out doing training. And the idea is that they'll get his phone, they'll image it real quick, and then they're going to put it back where they found it so he's none the wiser.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't find it. Like, they're tossing his dorm room, they can't find the cell phone. So the agents doing the dorm room search apparently call up the FBI supervisor who's doing the boyfriend's training at that moment. And during the middle of this training, the supervisor is like, everybody show us your phones. And I don't know what the plan was. Like, you wanted to do this surreptitiously. So what are you going to do? Are you going to have the supervisor confiscate his phone? And how is this going to work? But in any event, you're the boyfriend. You've been instructed to pull out your cell phone. What are you going to do?
You'd be like, I don't have a cell phone.
Yeah, he doesn't pull anything out.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't pull out his cell phone. So the FBI agents working this case are like, where the hell is this thing? They know he's got a locker in the building, a locker at the FBI gym in the building. And apparently near the cafeteria, there's also some storage shelf that trainees put their stuff, I guess, while they're eating in class or they're in class or whatever. The FBI goes back to the judge with another warrant. And this time they tell the judge, look, we are going to surveil the boyfriend to figure out where he leaves his phone. Then we'll do our search by checking the most probable location first and working our way down of where we think this thing might be. And we'll copy it and we'll put it back where we found it so he doesn't know, because it's an ongoing investigation. We're not ready to tip him off yet. And that's apparently what happens. So the boyfriend's training at the FBI does not last all that long. He starts in August 2021, and on November 17th, 2021, one of his training supervisors tells him, hey, you need to come by my office first thing tomorrow morning before training starts. The boyfriend shows up at his training supervisor's office at 6 o'clock the next morning. The supervisor takes him to a conference room, and lo and behold, there are two FBI agents from New York in that conference room waiting to talk to him.
No way.
They tell him that he is the target of an insider trading investigation. And there's a whole thing that ultimately never gets worked out about whether his discussion with them would be admissible because they didn't offer him a Miranda warning. And they, according to him, suggested that his cooperation might either prevent himself or his family members and friends from going to jail or save his job. He has a very long conversation with them. And the neat thing about the FBI is that they have a cute little form for reporting interview information that might become testimony. And the boyfriend very helpfully filed that as an exhibit in his criminal case. And it's not an exact transcript, but it looks like they started by asking him what he knew about Pandion. And he's basically like, oh, you know, I'm a swing trader and I use something called Stock Twits. Internet bots, which scan stock to send news and earnings information. And the Stock Twits app apparently pops up recommended stocks periodically. And like, Pandion just popped up a lot. Here's what else he told them about his decision to buy Pandion.
The deciding factor for the boyfriend to purchase Pandion was when news announced that Pandion had brought in a female member of the board of directors whose credentials and resume impressed the boyfriend.
He's not doing insider trading. He's doing a feminism.
he's like, you can't convict me or you convict all women.
They finally break through the glass ceiling and suddenly it's a crime.
I just love the ladies, man. The baller ladies. That's all it was.
I know. And I love that he's trying to convince the FBI that he's some sort of woke day trader who's actually paying attention to board composition when he's making his decisions. As a, like, board composition as it relates to diversity.
Yes.
He also claimed that he really liked their most recent earnings report, to have looked at their website, and to have done additional research on stock twits. And they must have asked him if he had heard about a potential acquisition, because according to the FBI, he said that he didn't recall any acquisition talk on stock twits, but also he felt like every stock had rumors of a potential merger or acquisition.
Aren't we all merging at some point in life?
In our capitalist structure, aren't we all acquiring something?
Yes.
And I think they must have just gotten him talking about how he picked stocks, just sort of digging that hole.
Yes.
The FBI asked him who else he knew that bought Pandion. You're the boyfriend. What are you doing here?
Oh, I'm going down with the ship. So I'm like, I don't know anybody that bought Pandion.
It's kind of funny because he apparently is like, oh, yeah, so... I mean, he just, like, names names. Like, my cousin made $3,000. My parents bought some. But then he obliquely mentions the buddy, but characterizes the buddy as his brother's friend. And he's like, well, I don't know how much this guy made or bought, you know? So they get this guy talking, and then they're like, hey, by the way, who's Linda Lawyer? He tells them that Linda Lawyer was his ex-girlfriend and an attorney specializing in, quote, sports, which kind of sports. Sounds like Ken doing beach.
I do beach.
And at this point, the FBI says that they told him, well, Linda Lawyer was involved in Merck's acquisition of Panda. And according to the FBI, the boyfriend is like, oh, well, you know, she didn't really talk about her work. And maybe I knew she was working on something for Merck, but I didn't know what. And she had all these code names, and I didn't even know what the code name for Pandion was.
Mm-hmm.
And he tells them that this conversation is the first time he's ever even heard that Linda Lawyer worked on the Pandion acquisition. And then he offers up some additional information.
The boyfriend recalled a friend of Linda Lawyer's who was very wealthy, and according to Linda Lawyer, often traded on material non-public information. The boyfriend described this person as a tall, white male with blonde hair. So he's like, it's probably that guy. You should go look at that guy.
Don't worry about the fact that me and all my friends and family traded in Pandion. It's probably this other guy whose name I don't remember, but he definitely trades on non-public information all the time.
Yes.
Can we just talk about how I made a thumbs up and the new iOS system popped up?
I love this thing so much.
So fucking, for people who don't know, this newest update of Apple's operating system, if you make certain movements on video, and it doesn't matter if you're using Teams or you're using Zoom or you're like we are right now, we're in Riverside, which is what we use to record our podcast. If you make those gestures, I'm trying to do another one.
Mm-hmm.
There we go. Oh, we got the fireworks. It'll pop up, like it pops up a thumbs up emoji on the screen. Or if I do a certain one, it'll do fireworks. I'm trying to get it to do it again. I can't. How did I do that originally? I can't
I
do
think
it.
You did you do like two thumbs up or something?
Maybe it's two thumbs up. There we go. It's two thumbs up. You get fireworks in the background. This is the stupidest feature I have ever heard of. And they did it. I mean, I guess they do like a press release or whatever about what their new features are. But I don't know. I don't read this shit when I update my operating system. I just update my operating system.
Just update.
I think that's what I need to do to keep my
security patches up to date.
And all that kind of stuff. Like, that's the responsible thing to do. So I discovered this because I was interviewing somebody in an investigation on video. And I made some gesture and it popped up like the thumbs up emoji behind me.
There it is.
So embarrassing. I would like to personally speak with whoever at Apple thought of this idea and then executed on it.
This happened, the way I found out about it was it happened to my husband and he was in like a super tense work meeting and did some gesture where fireworks went off behind him. He said the work meeting, everyone was like, what the fuck?
He like gets called into HR later that day.
Like, we have to eliminate your position. Fireworks.
I know. You've done a great job, thumbs up emoji, but unfortunately it will be the last job we've done with you.
I'm laughing because you did that and there were like big fireworks behind you.
I know. I thought there was one for the peace sign. That's the other thing is it's, oh, there we go. If you do
there we
the
go,
peace
there's
sign, it sends up balloons. That's the other issue I have with this is it's like,
it's not, they don't make
balloons
sense.
For the thumbs up for the peace sign. Like, it's so chaotic. It is so chaotic. Okay, where were we?
I don't even know where we were. Oh, where, yeah, he was the boyfriend.
So he blames
was,
this other guy.
Blames yeah. random dude, yes.
Right, he's like, don't worry about me. Focus on this other guy I can't even
he
name.
He was the one-armed man, yeah.
Yeah, who was dealing with non-public information. And then he tells the FBI, well, she may say that she told me about Pandion, or maybe she blurted it out, and there's a bunch of stuff that's redacted here. So you're like, blurted it out, like when she was drunk or during sex. You're like, what was, they clearly redacted something that had to do with the circumstances that he says she blurted out.
I like the idea of her blurting it out during sex or something. Like, Merck is purchasing Pandion.
I know. But then he says, but I never pushed her for information about her work because I've dealt with classified information and I know the rules. And I'm sure the FBI agents were like, could you say that again about knowing the rules?
Yeah, exactly. Could you just, I'm going to write that down one more time.
And then he also says that he thinks Linda Lawyer knew he had Pandion stock after the deal was announced, but he can't really explain why. And the agents start pressing him on inconsistencies in various statements he's made to them. And according to their write-up of the interview, here's what he did.
The boyfriend often did not have a response, looked down at the table, or repeated the phrases, I know this looks bad, I know this looks real bad, and I know this doesn't look good. The boyfriend asked if he should quit right now and stated, I should quit.
That's how you know your FBI interview is going really well.
It's definitely important to have that stream of consciousness thought out loud when you're meeting with the FBI.
Right. You're like, I know this looks awful.
It sounds like I'm lying. I know.
Yeah. I know my story is so preposterous. It can't possibly be accurate. And according to the FBI, they give him a few minutes to think over what he said. And the implication kind of is like, they're like, is this the story you're going to stick with? Like, you want to think about this and we'll talk in a few minutes? So you're the boyfriend. What are you doing here?
I mean, this guy definitely is sticking to his story. I'm like, I believe he's sticking to his story.
Okay. Here's what he tells them.
The boyfriend met Linda Lawyer in October 2020. At the time, the boyfriend spent a lot of time at Linda Lawyer's apartment. The boyfriend had not told his parents about Linda Lawyer because he did not think the relationship was serious and did not want the relationship to be serious. A few months after they started dating, Linda Lawyer was brought in on an M&A deal at Merck. Linda Lawyer tried several times to tell the boyfriend details of the M&A deal she had been working on, specifically the names of the companies involved. Oh, so he's like, she tried to tell me this.
Well, number one, he's like, whatever, it wasn't that serious. Like, I didn't even introduce her to my parents. It wasn't a real relationship. And she just like wanted to tell me all the time about the deals she was working on. How are we feeling about this?
Fuck this guy is how we're feeling about this.
Here's what else he tells the FBI.
The boyfriend stated that each time he told her not to tell him. So she's like, I'm working on a deal. And he's like, shh, no, don't tell me.
Don't do it.
Remember your ethical obligations.
I'm trying to play Call of Duty in peace and you won't quit violating your attorney-client privilege and confidentiality obligations. Can't I just play Fortnite with the other 14-year-olds?
It continues. He recalled one time he and Linda Lawyer were both in an elevator and Linda Lawyer told boyfriend, quote, he needed to get into the company and make a ton of money. The boyfriend repeatedly told Linda Lawyer not to say anything, resulting in Linda Lawyer not having divulged any details. At parties, Linda Lawyer would often mention details of the M&A deal she'd been working on to their social group of friends. So he is like, he's taking her down with him. I guess he's decided.
Yeah. I think basically trying to spin it as, well, she told me everything. It's her fault. And it's kind of confusing how he thinks this is going to work out for him, because it's like, okay, let's say she did tell you every deal she was working on. Do you think you were then allowed to go trade?
I was about to say, you still used that information, correct?
Like, right. We're not dealing with like the really problematic criminal piece of this.
Yeah, like she started it, doesn't quite absolve you of it.
Right. And at the end, also at the end of the interview, he gives these FBI agents the passcodes for his iPhone and his iPad. Thoughts?
Oh, well, very, very polite of him. I wouldn't do that, but very polite of him.
Yeah. And it finally gets to a point where they're pressing him again on certain things. And he's like, you know, I think I need a lawyer. I think I should have a lawyer. And they're like, okay, well, this interview's over.
Yeah, we got what we needed. That's fine. Thank you.
Once they are done with him, they walk him to another conference room, and his supervisor, his assistant supervisor, and the FBI trainer are all there, and he is summarily fired.
No way. Yeah.
His assistant supervisor and the FBI trainer take him to his dorm room so he can pack up his stuff, and then they physically walk him out of the building to his car.
That's so awkward.
And he later says in an affidavit that the two FBI agents from New York followed him in their car to a gas station. And while he's putting gas in his car, one of them stands behind the car with his service weapon visible.
Mm-hmm.
And then they get in their own car and they drive off. So they're kind of like running him out of town a little bit.
Yeah.
I also learned that binder Linda Lawyer had with her deal memos and other documents, Covington physically redacts pages of that binder to protect attorney-client privileged communications and then turns it over to the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And the FBI dusts it for fingerprints and find the boyfriend's fingerprints on pages in that binder.
No way.
A whole bunch of people get indicted. The boyfriend and the buddy get indicted in July 2022. So probably about 8 months after his little interview at Quantico, the buddy's brother gets indicted in November 2022. He made $400,000 off this insider trading. He gets indicted because he deleted a bunch of text messages with the buddy, and he lies to FBI agents when they show up to interview him. He's like, no, I have Pandy on. What? Girl, I don't know her.
Stocks. What are stocks?
Yeah, I don't. What? And then, but then after being like, no, I don't know anything about Pandy on, he's like, oh, well, I mean, I have heard about it in online forums like Wall Street Bets. And he's like, no, but my brother didn't tell me anything about Pandy on, when in fact, the buddy had texted his brother about, you quoted, it was that announcement that was not public info. It's big news. The share price is going to rocket ship emoji upward. Another person who gets indicted is basically this random dude who we will call Steve. And it looks like what happened is that the boyfriend told one of his cousins to buy Pandy on. The cousin's roommate was Steve. So the boyfriend's cousin tells Steve, yo, you should buy Pandy on. And then Steve texts one of his friends, and here's that text.
Quote, a new opportunity has emerged with insider info. So to be super clear, this is something you should not be trading on.
Right. And Steve also goes back and forth via text message with his roommate over whether the smart thing to do is to place a limit order to try and buy Pandy on stock if it drops a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So that they can snap it up for a few dollars cheaper. And Steve's like, well, one, why would the stock dip just days before an acquisition announcement? And two, he's very practical because we think the stock is going to $60, right? Mm-hmm. So here's another text to his roommate.
Quote, why the fuck do I care if I buy at $18, $19, or $20 if you think it's going to $60? I'd rather just get in and not miss the announcement. This is looking less and less enticing. I don't see why 15 cents matters if this is rocketing 100%, man.
The day after Steve's roommate tells him about the Pandion acquisition, he sends another text to his roommate, trying to encourage the roommate to get more information out of the boyfriend, who is the roommate's cousin. Here's what he texts. Here's what Steve texts his roommate.
I can see why Steve got indicted. I will give you $10,000 if you can get your cousin to say he is 100% certain he has insider info that news is coming out, which will send the stock up. It's important to put your every element of your crime, like, tick, 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 tick.
What's funny? I mean, I can't fault Steve's lawyers for working with what they had. In his own sentencing memorandum, Steve said, this is like in a footnote, mm-hmm. he's like, that was a joke. That was a joke. And when Steve used the term inside information, he did not use it in the legal sense. It's like, well, what sense does it have exactly in this context?
We know it's not a joke because he didn't end the sentence with send the stock up, LOL. So
yeah,
clearly.
Or like diamond hands or whatever. And in the days leading up to the Pandion acquisition announcement, Steve keeps texting his roommate. And I'm going to send you a list of those texts.
All right. First one. My only concern is that he knows there is actual news being released that will move the stock considerably. I have a year's salary in the stock. Oh, my God. You said it was a sure thing that he has inside info and it's going to triple. When Pandion announced it was going to present at a healthcare conference, Steve sent a link to the press release to his roomie and texted, "This has to be the news release that will drive the stock." His roommate responded, "Wow, it's all coming together." And Steve replied, "Yep, this is a good sign." And then the last one, on the day before the acquisition announcement, Steve texted his roomie and another friend, "One day away from retirement."
Steve made more than $266,000 when he ultimately sold his Pandion shares, and the various people he tipped off also made more than $200,000. And of course, when the FBI knocks on Steve's door in November 2021, he tells them that he traded Pandion shares based on information from his roomie, but he had no idea Merck was going to acquire Pandion, even though, again, this explanation makes no sense. It's like, well, then why did you think it was a good buy?
Why did you share on it? Yeah, why did you think you needed to buy all that?
And then this is totally unclear, but based on the DOJ's sentencing memorandum, it sure sounds like maybe there was another FBI agent involved in the insider trading, because the DOJ writes that Steve, during his interview with the FBI, admitted that he told others to trade Pandion, including co-conspirator 3, who's never identified.
Never named.
Who was then employed as a special agent with the FBI. And there's a page and a half of completely redacted text.
Hmm. Yeah, it sounds like there was definitely someone else involved. And maybe he didn't act on that information, but it sure sounds like he told another special agent about it.
I mean, maybe that's how FINRA gets involved, is because Steve tells his buddy who's a fucking FBI agent. And that guy's like, boop, 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 let me call FINRA.
Yeah, exactly.
As far as I can tell, Linda Lawyer never indicted. There's never any suggestion in any of the documentation online that she participated in any way in insider trading. She's never been identified. She is apparently no longer with Covington and Burling, which is not surprising.
Not surprising.
The buddy was sentenced to 5 months in prison with 3 years of supervised release. He was ordered to forfeit a little more than $1.3 million, basically everything he made plus interest. The buddy's brother pled guilty in late 2022. He got 3 years probation with 3 months home confinement, ordered to forfeit $403,000 and pay a fine of $5,000. Our friend Steve, our hapless buddy Steve, got 3 years probation with 6 months home confinement. Ordered to forfeit the $266,000 he made. No fine, apparently. The boyfriend finally pled guilty in December 2023. His sentencing is scheduled for March 13th, 2024.
Ooh.
He has a request for bail modification pending with the court right now, so he can travel to Florida for a yoga retreat later this month.
Oh, so he's found holistic health. Good for him.
Self-care.
It's healthcare.
Self-care
is
important.
It's been stressful. You need to center yourself.
Yeah. So that's
it's like
it.
My hips are tight. I need to stretch.
I'm carrying all my trauma in my hips. I just need to get deep into Pigeon.
I feel very bad for Linda Lawyer because she's like, he's in the pantheon of shitty ex-boyfriends. So, whoa, like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Gold Boy medal Lawyer. Winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this one was fantastic. I love it when there's text messages.
Especially ones that are so incredibly stupid. It's like, guys.
Yes. Guys. This was so one final note. You know what I realized today? We are at the 1 year anniversary of Jim Jimerson because we told that story on Valentine's Day last year. So
what?
Happy 1 year anniversary to Jim Jimerson and our crimeaholic.
Oh, Jim Jimerson. What a legend.
Well, thank you, KP. Next week's episode is going to be about grocery store drama. So I'm excited. I need to write it, but I've got all the research done and it's going to be fun.
Awesome. I can't wait. So you can find us on social media at Bad Lawyer Pod. You can email us badlawyerpod@gmail.com. And I don't know, you're supposed to take down the merch today. So
I am. It's coming down today. Yeah. I even have a Yay! Little sticky note on my computer screen. So it's coming down today. So by the time you hear this, it will be down. So I hope you partook and maybe we'll do some summer themed merch later this year.
Some spring themes.
Exactly,
I don't know.
Exactly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. All right. Well, thanks, everybody.
Thanks, guys.